around some of the things we've been sharing and hearing about with the specific of the ministry of Thrive, part of InnoVista, and also to perhaps talk a little bit more broadly about some of those social justice issues that we as Christians should be engaging with. So if I could have my PowerPoint up, that would be great. Well, I too wish to start with an image of Harry visiting Barton. I had to think about what it was I might want to say to him. We were all asked, as the trustees of Barton Community Association, were asked to turn up there, and we kind of didn't know what we'd been asked to turn up for, so we as it happened, we just stood on the pavement to make up the crowd. But I was thinking through to myself, what would I want to say to Prince Harry if he spoke to me? What would I want to say to him? What would you want to say to him? What would you say? Pardon? Congratulations on the baby, yes. Yeah. Quite a few of the crowd were shouting out, "We love you, Harry." I'm not quite sure what the motivation there was, but there you go. but that was my question. And I went down the line of, actually, I wanted to say to Harry, if I had spoken to him, I would say, well done for being here. You know, our message, our Bible message is that actually God commands rulers to be on the case of the poor, to defend their rights and to look after their just needs. That's the consistent message of Scripture. So Harry, well done for being in this place. This is where you as a leader should be. The rich and the powerful can look after themselves. This is where you should be. Thank you for being here. That's what I wanted to say. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of very, very simple Bible teaching that multiple places... Bible tells us that we should champion the rights of the poor, that multiple places, princes and rulers and the rich and the powerful, they're told to care for the poor. In multiple places, when rich and the powerful and the rulers don't care for the poor, they're condemned. In multiple places, this happens time and time and time again, and as Bible-believing Christians, it is our calling to lift the downtrodden. If you claim to be a Bible-believing Christian and you read Scripture, you cannot escape that truth. It is our calling to be involved in lifting those who have less. This is why it's so excellent that HBC got involved to want to see if we could help a church form in Barton, which was going to be very much more focused on folk who have so much less than we have up here in this part of Oxford. This is why it was great that we could partner with Thrive, who had that focus on ministering to young people who were disadvantaged. And this is why I'm passionate that we continue to see Barton Community Church thrive as a community of believers into which these young people can slot, if God willing, they find Christ, and find their way through to adult discipleship. Because they're not going to do that unless they've got a community of believers to belong to. And this is why I'm excited about that. And that's why I love the fact that HBC has been so behind that over the years. Let me just quickly run through a few bullet points here. God is for everyone. I'm just going to literally run through a whole bunch of bullet points. Some say God favors the poor. I disagree with that. Rather, the rich and the powerful can protect themselves. That's the message of the Bible. The rich and the powerful can protect themselves. They don't need God's protection in the same way. The rich and the powerful also have a tendency to be arrogant and exploitative. That's also a truth in the Scripture. You don't have to look far to find that. The dangers of riches, that you become arrogant and you start to take advantage of people. On the other hand, the poor are vulnerable and need protecting. They require equal justice. They require commercial fairness. So in the Old Testament, you know, that would be in terms of make sure you pay them the fair price. Make sure the weights in the market are fair. In our market, it's make sure you don't do them over by stupid levels of interest or by conning them with credit cards in a way that's dishonest or other tricks that are played. they require... They do require a moderate interest, rate of interest, and I'm afraid this is not a political statement. This is a Bible principle that interest should not be extortionate. It should not be. It's a very simple, as Christians, it's not a part of a political message. The Bible's clear. You do not lend interest at a rate that exploits. Clear. In difficult times, it's the poor who go short first. So they need championing. That's why. And for these reasons, God appears to favor the poor. But God is for everybody. But he's very much having to fight the corner of the poor. Does that make sense? I have not put a Bible reference up there. I will very happily take time to justify every one of those statements if you need me to, but you probably can do it yourself dead easily just by taking a concordance, and you can do it yourself. But do come and talk to me afterwards if you want me to justify any of those statements up there for you. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Right. So I want to take a little example from the Old Testament. We've been talking about the period in Nehemiah after the exile. I want to talk to you a little bit about the period before the exile. And here's a passage from Jeremiah that I came across earlier this year, and it really hit me. This is what the Lord says. Sorry, let me say the reference if you were looking it up. It's Jeremiah 22, 1-5. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Go down to the palace of the king of Judah and proclaim this message there. Hear the word of the Lord to you, king of Judah, you who sit on David's throne, your officials and your people who come there, come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner. It's an interesting one for us, isn't it? The fatherless or the widow. And do not shed innocent blood in this place. For if you are careful to carry out these commands, then kings who sit on David's thrones will come through the gate of this place, riding in chariots and on horses, accompanied by their officials and their people. But if you do not obey these commands, declares the Lord, I swear by myself that this place will become a ruin. Those are the words of our God through Jeremiah the prophet. Now, I just want to just demonstrate how relevant this is to our context right now. This is that Babylonian Jewish war. This is the war that led to the destruction of Jerusalem. For 3 years, the Judean nation, the Jews in the south of the nation of Israel, the Judean nation came under the overlordship of the Babylonians, and they had to pay taxes. And eventually their king took a bus out with a big slogan on it, we want our money back. And so they fought with the king of Babylon, they rebelled. And so the king of Babylon came and broke into the city after a siege and took that king away and took thousands of people away with him. Then, not long after, another king gets taken away. We're not actually given that clarity about why, but then eventually there's a third king who is put in place there, and there's a second city of Jerusalem because he too rebels. And at that point, the king of Babylon comes down and completely destroys this city. And Chris was talking about it last week, just wipes it out, kills all the family of the king, puts out the king's eyes, has somebody burn and destroy the whole city of Jerusalem. And he establishes a governor. And guess what the Jewish people do with their governor? They kill him. And then they have to run away to Egypt. Even poor old Jeremiah gets dragged away to Egypt because it becomes unsafe, because they know they're all targets now, the Babylonians, because they will keep on rebelling. And why? Because they're a proud nation and they don't want to be under anyone else's rule. Does that ring bells? They're plotting how to get free and stay free. Does that ring any bells? And the tragedy is they're missing the point. God is not interested in who the overlord is or what the politics are in terms of those power structures. What he's interested in is that, which is justice and equality. This is what the Lord says. Do what is just and right. rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. And this is the shocking truth. You know what? Jerusalem didn't need to be sacked. Jerusalem did not need to have the Davidic king cut off. For if you are careful to carry out these commands, then kings who sit on David's thrones will come through these gates, through the gates of this place, riding in chariots and on horses. You know, they were so keen, weren't they? And they were missing the point. They were missing the point of justice. Social justice. That was the point. That was what God wanted for them. So here's the graph. You can't probably see it, but if you the nation's there, but I don't know if you can see the United States towards the right of your screen. Is it fourth from the right there? The United States. And we're one, two, three, four further on. So we're amongst the most unequal countries in the developed world. And all the European states are to the left of us on that graph there. Pardon? It's a graph of, it's a measure of wage equality. It's a measure of wage equality. And so we're right up there in the developed world amongst the highest in wage equality. There's a few nations like Turkey and other undeveloped countries which are more unequal, but we're amongst the most unequal countries in the world. According to the Office of National Statistics, in 2018, the bottom 10%, they saw their wages go down by 1.6%. Sorry, the top... it's the top fifth. I can't see what the bottom is. Bottom proportion went down by 1.6%, and the average income of the richest fifth rose by 4.7%. Just last year, the gap grew wider. That's our national statistics. The gap between rich and poor in our country grew wider. The FTSE executive pay has risen to 454 times that of the average employee. So our top bosses have 450 times the money available in their income than the average employee in our country. The average employee. Not the bottom of the stack, the average employee. And it's not just money. There's this whole thing of inequality of health. It is a truth that on average, poor people die younger. And then you ask why that might be. What kills them? The so-called deaths of despair from causes such as suicide, drug overdose, and alcohol rising sharply. That statistic is in America, but it's the same here. And so you can see the trends. There is a trend in how much the top 1% own. And you can see that over the course of last century, we become more equal with less being owned by the top 1%. And as the century went on, we became less equal again. And you can see that the red line is America, which is the most unequal of the English-speaking, major English-speaking nations. And then there's Britain, blue, who is the second most. Our top 1% has that sort of proportion. It's close to 15%, isn't it, of the wealth. If you go to Europe, they tend to be rather less biased than we are. The cynic might say, is this part of the reason why people want to become more like America and less tied to Europe and more able to have less controls on workers' rights and less controls of incomes and these things? That is a political answer which you will have to answer for yourself. I know what I believe. But there it is. America takes us in the direction of more inequality. Europe takes us in the direction at the moment of less inequality. Are we missing the whole point in our Brexit debate, talking about who is the boss, when really what matters is what is the level of our justice in our nation? And what on earth are we doing as Christians to talk about these things? We get sucked into the same debates. And it's about social justice. God can sort out this nation in many, many ways, but we have to look to him. Right, I just want to tie this in because time has gone. New Testament, won't have time to go through all this, but we'll just rush through it. Jesus and the poor, just so you don't think it's just an Old Testament story, which I read to you. Jesus welcomed the rich man, Matthew and Lazarus. So he had nothing against the rich. He wanted them to come to him. But he had these warnings for the rich. The rich young ruler, where he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The rich fool, who wants to store into barns and keep the wealth for himself and not share it, and he dies. The rich man and Lazarus, the rich man who passes this guy on the gate of his door and ignores the poor man. You know what happened there, we haven't got time to go through all these stories. And then there's the woes to the riches in rich people in Luke 6. You know, woe to you who are rich now, for you have your treasure now, isn't it? You've got it. You've got what you need now, and the poor have got it to come. Treasure in heaven. This wonderful, wonderful, wonderful verse that we have here that Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. The danger of wealth is that you can't hold on to it with any security. A treasure in heaven, guaranteed. The command to give, and it will be given to us. And this rather interesting one, this is in Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And you might say, well, that's not Jesus then, that's Paul. This is what Paul says. In everything I did, I showed you, this is Paul teaching the church, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. One of the very few quotes we have of Jesus, not in the Gospels. And this is Paul quoting Jesus and saying it's more blessed to give than receive, and the context of there is to help the weak. To help the weak. I wish I had time to go on. I'm just going to wrap this up with I won't use the references I've got in the book there, but there's this great guy I love, Ambrose Milan, at the end of the 4th century, 375 onwards or 4 onwards, something like that, in Milan. He was the Bishop of Milan. And his big thing was, going back to the Old Testament, he said, Christians, we're not talking about charity, we're talking about justice for the poor. He said, you know, God has given everything to the world. Why should the rich have it and not the poor? We're talking about justice here. That changes the mindset. You know, I'm not doing a favor to these poor people. I'm rich, and I'm going to do them a favor. I'm going to give them a little bit of my wealth because I'm a nice person. There's a justice that God has given all to everyone. And there's a justice about sharing it. There's this business of community acceptance among people. Just hugely concerned about this, Ambrose, was that desire to bring the poor in amongst the polis, the citizens of the city. And here's his church, Ambrose's church, where you have one people and you have everybody in there together and we all respect each other. And there's that dignity that's spoken. This is part of why I just want to see Barton Community Church thrive, that you have a community there where you have one community where there's respect. And I love it when some of our friends from Barton come in here and it's obvious that they're received and loved as people on their own terms. I love that. Brilliant. One community. This is Ambrose. And no borders. It's a worldwide humanity. Ambrose was clear of that. We need to take this message to the whole world. And if I have treasure here and over there there's no treasure, then the treasure should go over there. And the history of the church has been exactly this whole business of sharing out the goodies. And it's happened in this country at its best, and it's happened in our missionary movement at its best, and at its worst, people trying to get rich on the back of religion. Brothers and sisters, this is our calling, and I would ask us to embrace with the message that that Sam is bringing about Thrive and that ministry, but also with the wider purpose of this church, in trying to be here as a community for everybody and having just that heart level of mutual respect for each other. I want to say it's our turn in our little patch to reach out across boundaries with love and respect, justice and assistance. You know, even the fun day where we give a free gift to the community. I mean, you have parents coming there with their kids, and they're amazed. What, the barbecues are free? What, the cake and tea's free? What, this game's free? What, this ride's free? And I haven't had been nagged by children all afternoon because we could just do what they wanted. It's fantastic. It's a beautiful atmosphere. And it's just a little picture of, I think, what our God's about. Clearly, there needs to be wisdom and proper care in how things are shared. The early church found that very quickly. You'll see that in Timothy. But with that care, this is our calling. I want us to come to our closing song in a moment, so perhaps I could ask the band up. But I would like a few of us to pray. I'd like us to pray about Thrive. I'd like to pray us about our response as a church. I'd like us to pray about our nation and what our values are at this point as we make our decisions. It may mean we have to leave. It may mean we have to stay in Europe. But let's make sure we base it on justice. Amen? But let's just have a few pray about that. And whilst we're doing that, there may be people in here where you just say, I'm dominated by wealth. And maybe you want to be thinking that at the end of this service, you want to come forward and ask somebody to pray for you because you're finding wealth is tying you up. Or maybe you're somebody here who has real need and you need to come to have someone pray for you that God would help you to meet your needs. Or maybe there's something else that God stirred in your heart this morning. But please, I think this is something that goes close to our hearts. You know the old story of the crusaders who used to baptize some of their converts, and they used to get them to hold their sword in the air. So they had baptized them, their sword wasn't converted, so they could still go and kill. And the joke's been made that sometimes as Christians we like to be baptized with our wallets in the air. And unfortunately the Bible doesn't give us that luxury, brothers and sisters. And we have to take carefully the things that we've been given. Let's make purses that don't wear out, treasure in heaven. A few people pray for us and then we'll sing.